bertemu kembali. Majikan di negara ini dinasihatkan tidak hanya bergantung kepada pekerja asing dari Bangladesh dan Indonesia yang kini dilihat semakin meningkat. Sebaliknya, mereka perlu mencari alternatif daripada 12 lagi negara yang telah dibuka.
Menteri Sumber Manusia Datuk Sri M. Saravanan berkata kebergantungan kepada dua negara sedikit sebanyak menimbulkan kesulitan kerana terlalu banyak syarat.
Apabila kita bergantung pada satu atau dua negara sahaja, terlalu banyak syarat. Bukan senang untuk saya sebagai menteri untuk menyempurnakan semua permintaan mereka. Sebab saya perlu jaga kepentingan warga tempatan. Maka kita perlu melihat luar daripada out of box untuk mengambil pekerja asing daripada negara-negara lain.
Beliau ditemui selepas Majlis Pelancaran Jentera PRU15 Parisan Nasional Parlimen Tapah di Arena Merdeka Tapah pada Ahad. Pada Rabu, beliau berkata jemaah menteri bersetuju bagi pengambilan 10,000 pekerja asing dari Sri Lanka dengan mengambil kira keadaan negara tersebut yang dilanda krisis ekonomi ketika ini. Menurutnya, kerajaan Sri Lanka telah mengemukakan permohonan rasmi untuk membekalkan tenaga kerja dan memohon kuota sebanyak 10,000 pekerja. Beliau berkata mesyuarat jemaah menteri pada 14 September lepas bersetuju bagi pengambilan pekerja tersebut dan ia merupakan antara usaha kerajaan untuk membantu negara Sri Lanka yang sedang berdepan krisis ekonomi terburuk di negara itu.
Kerajaan masih komited untuk membasmi miskin tegar pada penghujung 2025 berdasarkan pelan di bawah rancangan Malaysia ke-12. Menteri di Jabatan Perdana Menteri Hal Ehwal Ekonomi, Datuk Seri Mustafa Mohamad berkata, setakat bulan ini sebanyak 130,709 ketua isi rumah KIR miskin tegar telah dikenal pasti di seluruh negara dan bantuan melalui program perniagaan dan kewangan akan dilaksanakan secara berfasa.
Katanya fasa pertama program pembasmian kemiskinan tegar BMTKM yang dikategorikan sebagai projek perintis telah berjalan baik dan ia akan memasuki fasa kedua dalam 2 minggu lagi. Di peringkat wilayah Persekutuan Kuala Lumpur, Mustafa berkata 132 KIR miskin tegar terlibat pada fasa pertama, diterajui Dewan Bandaraya Kuala Lumpur DBKL dan Universiti Melaya di mana peserta akan melalui program pembangunan minda dan keusahawanan.
Ini fasa pertama kita panggil rintis, percubaan, banyak kita belajar. Dan fasa kedua akan bermula lagi 2 minggu dan kita akan pilih beberapa kawasan di wilayah lah. Wilayah ini kebanyakan PPR dan di segi strategi tak rumit sangat. Ya, kerana apabila melibatkan perniagaan, khususnya makanan yang memang diperlukan, jahitan, ini memang permintaannya cukup besar. Ya, jadi kita yakinlah dengan kerjasama semua pihak, khususnya EPUICU dan Kementerian Wilayah dan Datuk Bandar, kita akan dapat menangani miskin tegar di Kuala Lumpur. Kita ada 3,112.
Beliau berkata demikian selepas menyerahkan bantuan peralatan keusahawanan kepada 45 peserta program BMTKM di wilayah persekutuan di Kompleks Komuniti Muhibah di Kuala Lumpur pada Ahad. Bantuan peralatan itu termasuk mesin pengisar, mesin pengadun, set perkakasan gunting rambut dan set peralatan jahitan bagi membolehkan peserta memulakan aktiviti keusahawanan pilihan mereka.
Pelan pemulihan serta transformasi ekonomi Malaysia dengan memperkenalkan langkah-langkah pembaharuan antara tumpuan bajet 2023. Menteri di Jabatan Perdana Menteri Ekonomi, Datuk Seri Mustafa Mohamad berkata, bajet 2023 merupakan rancangan ekonomi jangka pendek negara selepas 2 tahun negara menumpukan soal kesihatan.
Memang tumpuan utama bajet ini adalah satu rancangan ekonomi jangka pendek. Jangka pendek bermakna 1 tahun. Tapi bajet juga menumpu kepada, seperti disebut oleh Menteri Kewangan, kepada keperluan untuk transformasi ekonomi, kata-kata reform, perkara untuk transformasi ekonomi Malaysia. Kita harus perkenalkan langkah-langkah pembaharuan. Kalau kita terus dengan cara lama, sudah pasti kita tidak akan berjaya. Jadi jangka pendeknya, ini menjadi tumpuan utama kerajaan dalam bajet. Yang kedua, langkah-langkah sederhana, jangka sederhana dan jangka panjang, khususnya dalam konteks untuk transformasi ekonomi Malaysia supaya ia lebih berdaya tahan, ya, ia lebih kukuh, lebih kuat, mampu untuk menangani sebarang cabaran.
Mustafa berkata demikian kepada pemberita selepas menyampaikan sumbangan kepada pelajar cemerlang di Jeli, Kelantan pada Ahad. Katanya kerajaan hari ini menumpukan soal ekonomi kerana dunia pada waktu ini menumpukan 2 masalah utama, iaitu geopolitik yang tidak stabil kerana peperangan di Ukraine dan kesan ekonomi kerana COVID-19. Seluruh dunia menghadapi masalah inflasi, kesan daripada perkara tersebut yang menyaksikan Amerika Syarikat menaikkan kadar faedah untuk mengurangkan kesan inflasi. Mustafa berkata keadaan itu memberi kesan kepada dunia, termasuklah Malaysia.
According to Economist magazine, as America raises rates, the rest of the world bears the pain. The Federal Reserve latest lift offers little help for the global economy. On September 21st, the Fed announced a 0.75 percentage point interest rate rise, its third in a row. The Fed's benchmark rate now stands at 3 to 3.25%, up 3 percentage points since the start of the year. While the rise was forecast, the central bank offered a surprise. New projections revealed that rates would probably rise to more than 4.5 to 4.75% at the end of 2023. Higher than expected, the value of the dollar has risen by about 2.5% over the past month alone and by 60% since the start of the year. There is a discourse going on globally. Does the world need another Plaza Accord similar to 1985? So joining us, Shan, Chief Economist of Jual IQI. Shan, thank you very much for joining us this morning. All right, Shan, all major newspapers are pointing towards the accord which you have shared on Astro 2 months ago. Does the global economy need Plaza Accord to bring stability in the markets as stronger dollar is creating inflation in other countries with depreciating currencies and hurting global trade? What do you have to say about this?
Absolutely, Nina. The way things are shaping up, as you have mentioned at the start, US dollar has appreciated 2.5% in 17 days. And this year alone, US dollar has appreciated 16%. This is not helping the global economy. As you know, 85% of the global trade happens in US dollar. So I think in my opinion, what happened in 1985, there needs to be a consensus among central banks that revaluation of currencies need to be done. What is revaluation? In 1985, a Japanese yen was trading at 240 against USD. And then it was revaluated by the central bank. Just like you have devaluation that is done by the central bank, you have revaluation, that is, you know, putting the economy on the upside, on the higher side. So Japanese yen was revaluated and started trading at 140 against USD. So I think there is a discourse and there is a deliberation among central bank that the rising US dollar is creating a lot of uncertainty. And Fed is exporting inflation to other countries. That's why just this year alone, 87 central banks have raised the interest rate. It has never happened before in the recorded history. So there is a lot of uncertainty and the world needs to go back to Plaza Accord in order to bring stability in the financial markets and also in the currency market.
And the Financial Times reported global backlash is brewing against Fed due to its unpredictable moves and wrong analysis about the market. Can we expect global central bank urging for immediate intervention? Markets are in a turmoil and investors are shaky. Your thoughts on this, please?
Yes, Wall Street also reported the same on 19 September that there is a need of coordination and global intervention. This cannot go on for long. If this goes on, I think the global economy will suffer a lot because Fed has been saying since last year that this inflation is transitory, it will go away, it will peak in August 2021. All the analysis by Fed has been wrong and it has created a lot of trouble. And again, Wall Street has reported that stronger US dollar has troubled the US, the global economy. So I think there is a discourse and there is a disenchantment among central banks, which was reported in Financial Times that Fed is not helping the global economy. In fact, Fed is creating turmoil in the market and that is not being very, very well welcomed among the central banks. So I think there is a need that Plaza Accord needs to be done, a part two of Plaza Accord, so that, you know, the global economy gets some stability and the trade and commerce should be on the rise.
All right, Sean, rising inflation is becoming a concern, including in Malaysia. However, if you check the latest issue from The Economist magazine, I'm going to let me run through numbers. For example, we have China 2.5%, USA 8.3%, Euro is 9%, even Malaysia is 4.7%, Indonesia 5.7%, and we have many more countries. So to conclude, is Malaysian inflation lowest in the Asian region?
Yes, if you compare the ASEAN region, Thailand is the highest, 7.9%, Singapore is 7%, Indonesia and Malaysia is 4.7%, Philippines is very high, 6.3%. Overall, I think Malaysia's inflation is still the lowest, and it boils down to the effective monetary policy of Bank Negara. What Bank Negara played in 2020 and 2021 with discount rate at 175, I think that was a very sagacious move, and all credit goes to Governor Bank Negara, the way she has played her cards and moved some tactical moves. I think it has done well for the economy, and I think Bank Negara still has got room to maneuver in terms of monetary landscape. So overall, I think in ASEAN region, Singapore and Thailand, they remain the highest in terms of inflation. And Malaysia and Indonesia, they are still on the lower side at 4.7.
All right. I want to say thank you very much, Shan Said, the Chief Economist UIIQ, on the very interesting insight. So, banyak lagi pegangan yang akan kami bawakan bersama rakan penyampai saya, iaitu Ibrahim Sani, niagawan ini berhenti rehat seketika, kembali selepas ini.